Power Play. Here's your host, C. Williams.
Rocking the streets of Vegas, 4 o'clock, standing tall, feeling good here on a Monday. Glad you could join us. It's loaded. It's going to be lit today. Plenty to get to. Andy Isco, Logical Approach, he's coming up. About the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about the World Series. NBA, the association tipping 2 games tomorrow. Also, he'll check out the Pats. Can they get it done tonight and stay unbeaten against Gag Green? And we'll look at some of the key games in college football next week as well. Also, lighters up, 420, a little dope at that time, and plenty of other good stuff. What's up, brother? J-Dog in the house.
Man, not much, not much. I was a mess after the UNLV game. I don't necessarily want to talk about it. I will if you force me. But, yeah, it was a rough weekend for Jared.
You know what? They got a chance. They were blown out 56-27, right?
Yeah.
But they're 3-4. Dude, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, we're playing them out. No, they've got 5 games left. San Diego State, didn't they? I think they beat them last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they get San Diego State this weekend. They could beat Colorado State. They're not very good next weekend at Colorado State. Hawaii comes in. We've seen them slip up. San Jose State comes in, then they got Reno. If they win 3 of those next 5 games, they can't win 3 games?
I mean, they might be able to. No,
listen, I mean, I wrote them off like 3 weeks ago. I'm looking at their schedule. I'm like, after that Vandy win, they just got to win 3 of 5 games now. And they can. And I hope they do. I want Tony to save it. Save Tony's job. Save Tony. Oh, I'm sorry. I just don't campaign like that on the air. But anyways, the Rebels do have a shot. Glad you could join us. I'm fired up. Hey, by the way, today is National Reptile Awareness Day. How's your snake and your lizard?
Good God.
What?
Nope, letting that one hang. That's all you, man.
That's all I got. Before we get to rocking the NFL Week 7, I want to talk about this particular thing that's going down, and it's global. It's NBA versus China, voices of the NBA. And to me, the key word in this whole controversy is the word education. You must be educated. And I say that for anyone that's in a position of power. For example, Daryl Morey.
Morey.
Okay? Morey, the GM president for the Rockets, okay? And keep this in mind, okay? The Rockets, they're the one symbol in this country that is attached to China. They're the one city in our country that is attached to China more than any other city. And the reason is, you got to go back to 1980 when Yao Ming was picked number 1. 7'6", 310, size 18 shoe, okay? He comes over from China. He's the biggest star in China next to Bruce Lee, okay?
I mean, he legitimately, after playing basketball, became the head of basketball for the nation of China.
Yeah,
they created a government position.
Yes.
For Yao Ming.
He's the manager, the head of Chinese basketball, the CBA. He is over that. All right. Now, and here's the thing, and Daryl Morey should have known better. And I'm not blaming Adam Silver for this going down, because in our country we have a freedom of speech, a freedom to succeed, to fail. You could go rob a bank and go to jail, or you could be a clean-cut citizen and Samaritan and do your well, have a family, get married, get divorced, cheat on your wife, your husband, whatever. We have the freedom to do whatever we want, and we can say what we want. We are a democracy. They are communists over there. It's a dictated country. You can't say jack. And the protest has been going on now for months. The younger demographic, the millennials, they're going crazy. No, if we go to trial, we're not going to Hong Kong. You can't make us. All of a sudden, they're having something over there in China that they've never had before. And this will tell you why you shouldn't say anything about a country like that. Okay? Best example is Yao Ming. He has a 6-year-old daughter. She's pretty tall, plays basketball. one daughter. Why? Because in China, you can't have more than one child. If you do, it's against the law. They will take your other kid and throw you in prison. Okay? That's control. So you can't say anything. You can't have more than one kid. Can you imagine people that probably have kids that they're hiding now in basements and attics or other things they're doing to make sure they're not being caught? In that country, it's a fear. So Maury goes off and tweets something, just being cool. Hey, yeah, I'm down with the protesters. Are you serious? This is a billion-dollar marriage between the NBA and China. Adam Silver, even David Stern, they've done a great job setting this thing up. This thing goes back to when Yao Ming was drafted. Houston is the voice of our country to them. Okay? The Rockets president said something very bad to their establishment. Now, don't get me wrong. The protesters love it. But the establishment doesn't. You're going to say that about us? Guess what? We're taking down your sign. Everything that represents you. We're not putting your games on TV. We'll let you play. And we might just cancel everything that we're doing. This billion-dollar gig and relationship and marriage is about to go foul because of this dude in Houston. Should he get fired? No. Because he didn't know. But I tell you what, after it happened, I guarantee you Adam Silver, as sharp as he is, he got on the phone to all owners, shut it down right now. Players ain't said nothing. Because the players are educated. The players are millennials. They get it. They're protesters just like the guys over there. Okay? And they're going to speak when they feel like there's something to be said. But they get it. There's nothing you can do to change a communist country. It's a dictatorship. Don't say anything bad about them because guess what? They want to pull the plug anyway. Everything about is about control in China. Right? Everything. Totally. You can't do anything without getting in trouble over there. And so finally, they stand up and have an uprise, a revolution, basically, against the system. And a guy over here thinks it's cool to say something. No, it ain't cool. You should know better. Daryl Morey, in my opinion, should he lose his job? No. He made a mistake. But it's almost a billion-dollar mistake. He didn't do it on purpose, I don't think. He was just trying to be cool.
I don't know if... I don't know if you can honestly say like he was trying to be cool saying, hey, these people are humans. Like, I don't know if that's a cool stance as much as it is just a stance.
But he shouldn't say anything.
Yeah,
you should understand it's a communist country. Hey, J-Dog, you can only have one baby. If you knock somebody else up, you're going to jail and your baby's going to lose an arm.
Okay, that's fine. But I don't see why he, as an American, shouldn't be allowed to say whatever he wants.
Because we are trying to make a partnership with them, a billion-dollar partnership.
They knew who they were getting into bed with.
Yes, but...
If they want the product, then they're going to have to deal with us.
No, I disagree.
Oh, no.
No. They're not trying to get with us. We're trying to get with them. We want the cash. This is a cash pool. This is all about the Benjamins.
Okay, cool. Then they can make their own...
They don't need us.
They've had their league without us.
This league has been going on. Listen, Shanghai Sharks is where Yao Ming played, okay? They've got their own league without us. We can make it bigger.
So does Turkey.
Yeah, but see, we want to go global, not them. They're communists. Communists are by themselves, bro. They don't want us.
Okay,
we want them. You understand? It's not about them trying to make money from us.
If they didn't want us, then they wouldn't be offering us any money. Like, we would have it wouldn't be billions.
You know what it is? Mm. It's our fans. It's our star power. We have all the stars, LeBron James, all these guys that we have, okay? AD and everybody else going through. Curry, I could keep going. Durant, that's what they want. Their fans are enamored by our star power. They don't have any star power. But we know that with our star power, we can engage with them, put this partnership together, and make billions of dollars. We may even form our own G League over there. Okay? We may do, there's so many things that Adam Silver is visualized to do, but this guy Daryl Morey kind of...
As long as he looks over human rights violations, in which case, I don't know, I don't know if the money's worth it.
I totally disagree with that.
Not all money's good money.
Look,
I'm sorry.
Here's the thing is, they're not getting in bed with us, we're getting in bed with them, correct?
That's the problem. If you're willing to get in bed with somebody like that, then no, I'm good.
Keep your money. Give me $1 billion, okay? Right. I'm going to cut this up. All the owners, the players, everybody's going to get a piece of this and their family and everything. Take the money, man. The world is set up that way. It's a communist country. Yeah, they treat their people bad. There's an uprising. You know not to say anything about it. You know it's communist. You know they don't need us. They're locked in. Okay, they're in lockdown. They had a wall. Remember, they tore down the wall. Everything was exclusive to China. They didn't care about the rest of the world. So all of a sudden, they're opening up, and then we have a guy say something, okay? But it could be saved. And the thing is, right now, Adam Silver's trying to get with Yao Ming, because Yao Ming is the one guy that can maybe flip it into their favor and maybe blow it over. I say the money's good, bro. That's just me. Look, it's a billion-dollar marriage. Take the money and shut your mouths. That's my thing. I get your point, but I'm not that guy. I'm not going to feel sorry about, hey, that's the way they've always been. They've always been that way. It's not going to change. So, you know what? The best thing to do right now is get to rocking.
Yeah.
With the NFL. All right, let's get you started. Rocking the NFL, looking back at some of the key games. We'll give you a couple of additionals here because J-Dog was in there just working it. We always start with what we saw last, and it was a beatdown. The boys and the Eagles showing up. You know, the difference in the Cowboys game in this one is turnovers. They had field position. They had the ball at the 50 or better. The other three games where they lost, they had the ball every drive on their side of the 50. So, well, they snapped that three-game skid. Zeke, is it Zeke?
Straight-eye formation, Olawale in front of Elliott. First and goal, and they're going to give it to Elliott. Coming left, pounding at the goal line. Touchdown, Elliott. Take that.
Every particular cut is NFL Network, we're going to say. Cowboys 37-10, they roll over the Eagles. They're now 4-3, top of the East in the NFC. Eagles drop to 3-4. It's really cool when the Cowboys win. Jerry's up in his booth with his son. Everybody's fanning and got their cigars out. Clean my glasses, son. It's all good and dandy. Unfortunately, they got hit by that tornado. And it got pretty much, that city got wiped out. I got family down there, a nephew and things. They're well, but yeah, 37-10, the Cowboys get the victory. Let's move on to Chicago. They got Trubo back. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, come on. He's back. What happened to that famous Bears defense we were ranting and raving about, huh? Huh? They gave up 432 total yards of offense yesterday. Latavius Murray got a bunch.
Saints back out, I formation, Bridgewater under center, handoff goes to Murray off right guard, pushing forward, touchdown, Latavius Murray, and the Saints punch one in the first drive of the second half.
That's the Saints, and by the way, 24-15 in the second half, they drubbed them, and Trubo looked terrible.
Yeah, and, okay, there was a point where it became disrespectful, and this is the point where it's just disrespectful.
Bridgewater under center, quick throw out to the side. Taysom Hill across the goal line. Touchdown, Taysom Hill. It's a little variation of your bully ball there.
26-10, and you're having a quarterback throw to another quarterback in order for the quarterback to score a touchdown. That's not nice.
That's a rub down.
Not nice.
And the Saints went marching into Chicago and took the Soldiers down. Didn't need the Pope's tweet this week. 36-25, they get the victory over the Bears. They're 6-1. Under Bridge, they are basically unbeaten at 6-0, right? Yeah, because the first game when Drew Brees went down, they lost that game. He started the last 6-1. Now the Bears, they fall to mediocre at 3-3. Ravens and Seahawks, one of the lockdown games, and I am surprised this thing was flipped. But by the way, beware. You know what happens every time Seattle loses and goes east of the Mississippi. They go to Atlanta next week. You know what to do with that game. Seattle at home. Man, we saw him earlier in the year lose. But this time, Lamar Jackson just toasted him. 143 yards passing, 116 on the ground. And he put one in the end zone.
Jackson takes a snap, runs to the right. He's got a seam. He's to the five. He's in. Touchdown, Lamar Jackson. And the Ravens have taken the lead again.
They're actually saying that this guy is better than Michael Vick running the football. I will say this. He reminds me of Michael Vick. Michael Vick was the second real You could go back to, you could say Roger Staubach. You could go back to, Steve Young was the absolute first of our time great scrambler. And then Michael Vick took over as the next best. This guy right here is the best of the best that I've seen lately.
I enjoy the fact that he's not as slight. Like Michael was never like a thin dude. Like he was never tiny, but this guy is like, he's not Cam Newton, like fullback size, but he looks like he's built like he can run the
ball.
He's
a machine.
Yeah. Like he's lean. Ugh,
but the way he cuts. I mean, he'll give you a leg and take it back. You'll fall. Then he'll do a spin and go around another guy. And then he gets on the sideline.
He'll also drop the shoulder and he'll power up through you and get that extra 2 yards.
Incredible. He's the sixth leading rusher in the NFL. That's Lamar Jackson, the quarterback of the Ravens. 30-16, they thump Seattle. They're 5-2. So are the Seahawks. Like I said, my tip for you, bet Seattle at Atlanta. I got to check the line on that. When they go west of the Mississippi, they win and they cover. Vikings and Lions, fun to watch, back and forth. Stafford, Cousins combined for 8 touchdowns between the two. Here's one of Cousins, 4.
Handoff goes to Madison. He's thrown. No, it's a bootleg. Cousins rolls left, throws end zone. Caught Thielen, touchdown!
Nice.
How good did your day have to be? Well, all right, I know Adam Thielen left hurt. This game hurt, but he literally like caught a touchdown and then left the game.
Right, right.
Like full on, just all right, guys, I'm good.
Hammy, yep. And apparently him and Cousins had a beef, and Cousins apologized to him recently. I believe it was a week ago, and they made up. I didn't get all the goods on what it was, but whatever it was, they fixed it.
I think it was not throwing him the football.
That's generally what it
if
is.
If it's a wide receiver. And he's got beef, it's
I'm a diva. 42-30, Vikings rolling. They are 5-2. The Lions with that loss are 2-3-1, kind of like a puzzle. The Raiders at Lambeau, they look good in London against Chicago. They look good at Indy. They didn't look so good in this one. It looks good against Denver. They're open at 2. 42-24, your final, the Packers. A perfect quarterback rating for Aaron Rodgers in this one. 429 yards, 5 TDs. Walker had one.
Snap to Rodgers.
Okay.
Back to throw, deep drop. Rainbows right side. Tomorrow's got it. 10-5 pylon. Is it a touchdown? No, he stepped out of bounds apparently. Or is it? I didn't see an indication for touchdown. And apparently it is. Daryl Worley beaten on the play. Jake Kumerow. 37-yard touchdown strike for Aaron Rodgers.
That's not a real person. You've never heard of no one named Jake Kumerow, Kumerow, whatever the hell his name is.
All right, we got to move. We got 2 minutes here before dope.
Yep.
All right, last three games doing their thing. 31-3 over Cleveland, 20-7 over the Rams, and the Niners 9-0 over the Skins. Defense.
49ers have never won a game previously by the score. 9-0. Nick Bosa will have the exclamation point. And then he will go on the slip and slide. With a forward slide on the field here after he got Case Keenum from behind, and now it is case closed. Nick Bosa.
Nice. He's great. 6-0 are the Niners. 1-6 are the Skins. Shut them out. 180 yards. Held last three teams under that from scrimmage. That's incredible. The Colts. Broussette, 4 touchdowns. 30-23. They beat the Texans.
Left side, a wide receiver screen, a T.Y. touchdown. Touchdown, T.Y. Hilton. A 2-yard strike from Jacoby Brissett. And the Colts find pay dirt again. And they now lead it.
30-23, your final. 4-2 now are the Colts. Texans are 4-3. So the Colts are in first place in that division. Cardinals, Titans, Jaguars, Rams. And this team, they're 5-1. The Bills.
Here's the bloop kickoff, the short one. And it is caught by Micah Hyde in the air, and he's going to run the other way.
Go down.
Micah Hyde running at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown.
Go down. We got to go down.
Go down. Come on, go down. All right. Tonight, the Pats 10-43. Andy Esco is going to give us more on that coming up. So it's time to jump. Lighters up. 4:19.
And I've been saving for a special occasion.
Like a quarter pounder, man.
Hey, be careful with that, man. Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show Is Dope.
420 in the Valley. Lighters up. Please don't inhale. All right, let's get you started. Some football. Clemson at Louisville. They blew the Cardinals out 45-10 and kept hold of that three spot in the AP poll. Now, one Tiger player added some excitement to the game, and that was cornerback Andrew Booth Jr. Louisville punted to Clemson. A player named Troutman of the Cardinals is running down the field to cover the play when he was thrown to the turf by Booth. At that point, Booth Jr. lost his mind and went UFC and started pummeling this player right in the middle of the field. It's like, what? You're playing a football game, dude. This ain't a street fight. So the teammates have to come pull him off. The ref pull him off. He gets ejected, okay? Dude's a freshman. So
all right, case closed.
So now's when it really gets good. So Sweeney, he and his coaches and the players all flew back to Clemson the same way they came in on a plane. Andrew Booth Jr. was made to ride back home from Louisville on the team manager's bus, which was a 7-hour, 450-mile ride. To me, that's taking control. That is pretty damn dope, Sweeney.
Dude,
everybody else is on the plane. No, that's the way you treat them.
Oh, my God.
You got to see the highlights of this dude. Have you seen it yet? The dude lost his mind.
Oh, yeah.
He has the kid on the ground. He just pumped. I'm like, what the hell? This is an organized football game, not street ball, not a prison. And then he gets thrown out. Double's like, okay, I got this. Okay, let's get on the plane. By the way, Booth Jr., you're on that manager's bus. Enjoy the 7-hour ride back home while we fly in an hour. It's dope. That's a good dope.
All right. Oh, man. All right. I don't know if I'm going to be able to top that. Okay. So, as you know, various places around the United States have what's called a drug take-back day, where you can turn in your illicit materials, your paraphernalia, if you will, and in exchange, you know, like you don't get in trouble. Well, now it's gotten to the point where they're going to high schools and going, hey, guys, we'll take your jewels. They are now accepting. The state of New Hampshire will be the first that we know of that will accept vaping products to be turned back in. And they basically said they talked to civic leaders, police officers, and they said, what can we do to get kids to give us their drugs? And they were like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think the kids are going to give you back their drugs. All right, cool. Can we at least get the freaking jewels? I'm tired of my son smelling like a pineapple. I just, like, what is it going on in the state of dope?
That's crazy. You know, and the thing is this. The vapors, they're really, I get it, okay? They're claiming, all right, this has got me away from smoking. I understand.
It's got more nicotine in it.
Well, I mean, it's and you could die. Okay?
they some of them explode.
You could die.
I think not doing either is probably the best solution.
How about smoking some weed, okay?
Yeah.
How about doing some true dope? If you're going to smoke something, why don't you do something that can get you lit?
If you are over the age and you are in the state of Nevada.
Thank you very much.
There
kindly.
You go. Let me throw that disclaimer.
One of the 10 states. All right, this is pretty cool. Remember Jeopardy James Holzhauer?
Yeah.
Okay, this dude that set all those records. I think he didn't break the overall record on purpose. I swear.
You think he bet against himself? You think he fixed it?
I don't think he fixed it. I don't think he wanted the honor of being top dog where your record could be broke by someone else's. That's just my guess.
Ooh.
Okay. Anyway, pretty cool dude. He's been here in town. You know, he's a local. And he has ties to Rancho. So he's been doing a lot of donating here in town. So he donated $25,000 to Rancho High. Here's why. Liberty High, Shadow Ridge, Centennial, Cheyenne, Rancho, and I believe Clark. All these schools, their football fields are done. You can't play on them. Their heart is rock. Their heart is cement. And they're uneven. There's holes in the ground. There's pipes all over the place. You can't. Matter of fact, Liberty had a team from Arizona come in to play opening day. And the officials looked over the field. They said, we can't play on this field. They had to cancel the game. Games have been canceled. All these schools have to play nothing but road games. Rancho's field has been that way since, 11 years, 2008. None of these teams have had upgraded groundkeepers or anything of that nature. So, Jeopardy James donated $25,000 to have Rancho's field get a facelift. To me, dope.
Yeah, no, there's no other way to put that. That's super awesome. Dope. All right, man, this is going to be one of those where you and I may look at each other and realize we got the same dope story.
Uh-oh.
This is from Fox 10 Phoenix. Tupac Shakur arrested for meth possession, threatening officers with a knife. Apparently, a Tennessee resident named Tupac A. Shakur was arrested this weekend after allegedly threatening police with a knife. 40-year-old Shakur had active warrants for his arrest and is currently being detained because when he was searched, the police found a syringe and multiple baggies of methamphetamine.
Gee, Tupac.
He lives. Yeah, so apparently he's living, but he's living in Tennessee and he's not doing well.
That's wrong.
But hey, Tupac's alive. That's dope.
That is dope. Oh, man. This woman ain't doing well either.
Oh, my.
We're going to Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
This lady and her boyfriend are, it's time to doze off. It's getting late at night. 2-year-old baby's got his own little room. He's about to go to sleep, too. So they're dozing off, and all of a sudden, the dog starts barking. And the woman hears a dog on a leash and a chain in her house. But her dog doesn't have a leash and a chain. So she looks down the hallway. A total stranger, another woman, entered her house with a dog, has her 2-year-old baby, and is putting it in the bathtub to bathe it. Not up in here! Woman goes and tackles this chick, holds her down, gets her boyfriend to come in. Boyfriend holds the girl down. They call the popo man. Cops come, and they arrest this woman. Okay, the mother's name is Erica Hall. The 22-year-old trespasser, perpetrator, is Elizabeth Hexon. Now, Hexon is arrested and charged with burglary, get this, after allegedly entering a home and giving a toddler a bath. That's what she's being charged with. Her mother, the mother of the woman that invaded the house, says, she has good intentions.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
hold on.
Yeah,
hey, at least that baby's going to be right.
Go ahead and make a bologna and cheese sandwich and just whiff down the orange juice without a glass while you're there. Make yourself at home, baby. Lighters down. Andy Esco across the street.
Power play.
And live again. How, you ask? Symmetry Medical Spa is offering FemTouch. FemTouch is a medical, non-invasive urinary incontinence procedure that will control bladder leakage and tighten the vaginal wall. It only takes 2 to 3 treatments and only 5 minutes of your time in our office. Symmetry Medical Spa always offers free consultations, and for a limited time, you can receive $1,000 off. Easy financing. Lands are available. Call now, 702-749-5, and ask about their free Botox special. Se habla español.
Gents, Seth Williams here. It's time to reload. Move past all the supposed male enhancers, free testosterone products, and get her done. The answer? Trim Care. The hormone replacement pellet therapy will once again make you the boss in the box. Take it from me, got her done. Energy levels up. Emotions are balanced. Motor running like a freight train. And it restores your mental sharpness. For more than half a year, your testosterone levels will be above or at the male standard. And you'll regain your throne as boss in the box. Contact Trim Care now at 702-878-8888. Tell them Seat sent you and receive a 10% discount. Ladies, get it for your man and you'll be rewarded. 702-878-8888. That's trimcare.com.
Symmetry Medical Spa wants you to have the big, luscious lips you have always dreamed about. In just 20 minutes, you can have the lips you always desired, and for a limited time, when you buy one filler, you get Botox for free. Yes, that's right. No gimmicks, no fine print. Buy one filler and get free Botox. Get the lips to match your beautiful body and watch the heads turn. Call now, 702-749-7575 to schedule your appointment or visit SymmetryMedicalSpa.com. Symmetry Medical Spa. 749-7575. Te habla español.
Go with reliable, reliablebanner.com.
Cooler temps mean spending more time outdoors. Kids soccer, weddings, Halloween parties. So make your message stand out with high-quality custom banners and event signage from Reliable Banner. We offer the best variety for the most value. So get your totally free estimate today. You can order online at reliablebanner.com or visit our office on the corner of Smoke Ranch and Decatur. Great prices with fast delivery.
Go with reliable, reliablebanner.com.
Back on the mean streets of Vegas, 431, feeling good here on a Monday. Power play, I'm Seed Williams. J-Dog's got the dishes, the ones and twos. Andy Esco's with us now, Logical Approach. Andy, how are you, brother?
I'm doing fine, Seed. Hope you are as well.
Andy?
I'm here.
I guess we lost him. We're getting right back up in a second. Andy Esco, we're going to start with the football game tonight. It's weird, that number, it was out at 9.5. It's 10 now, and the total 43. I don't know. The Jets going to beat the Patriots tonight? Are you serious? I'll tell you, the biggest surprise, though, is the Buffalo Bills right now. The Buffalo Bills are, in fact, the biggest surprise of all of football. They've only lost one game in that division. Miami's tanking. The Jets, growing pains. Buffalo almost beat New England earlier in the year. That's their only loss. Andy, how are you, brother?
I'm doing fine, Seed. I hope you're doing as well.
Doing well, my friend. Andy Esco, a logical approach here on the show, Power Play. Andy, let's get started with tonight. The Patriots and the Jets. The Jets, of course, with a nice victory last week. We're going to see what happens tonight. I mean, but it's a double-digit game. It's between 9.5, 10, total 43. Is it a cover game, or do the Patriots just go and spank them all the way?
Well, this is actually, Seed, a rematch of a game played earlier this year in which the Patriots held the Jets without an offensive touchdown, a couple of special team defensive touchdowns for the Jets. The Patriots in that game were, let me just check to make sure on this one, but they were, I think, let me just check. Hold on a moment here. As I get the right file open.
Andy, we're going to call you right back. Is he muddy?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, he's fine. All right, we'll keep him. All right, go ahead. You got the file open?
Yeah. They were, I just wanted to make sure that they were 21-point favorites in that first meeting. The Patriots won 30-14. They held the Jets without an offensive touchdown. And they really dominated the stats. They held the Jets to 68 rushing yards, 313 passing yards. That's what the Patriots had. They held the Jets to 105 net yards, 36 rushing, 69 passing. And, of course, that was the second game that Sam Darnold missed following the mononucleosis diagnosis, which came following game one. He sat out the second game, which was the Monday night loss to Cleveland, and then, of course, this week three game against New England. Of course, we also remember that the Jets had their best chance to win their opening game against Buffalo, leading 16-0. They ultimately gave up that lead and lost 17-16. But you have to think that since the diagnosis of the mono came out just a couple of days after that game, Darnold might very well have been feeling the early effects of mononucleosis even in that opening win against Buffalo. So you can almost excuse his first effort of the season, obviously with the backups, Trevor Siemian and then Nick Folk, the remaining games up through the Washington game, that the Jets really didn't have anything resembling the offense that they were expected to have. And we saw that in their game last week against the Dallas Cowboys, where they got out to the early lead and held off the Cowboys, and the Jets passed for 326 yards in that game. The problem for the Jets, and it even showed up last week, and with the acquisition of Le'Veon Bell, the signing of Bell in the offseason, he only ran for 56 yards last week. They didn't really use him all that much, even in the second half when they were trying to protect the lead. So I guess where I'm headed with this is we want to accept the fact that with Darnold, the Jets are indeed a much better football team, but how much can we really read into that first effort? Now, if you look again at the line, you're talking about going from a 21-point home favorite to, let's say, a 10-point road favorite, so that's an 11-point adjustment. So you're basically making at least a 5-point adjustment simply on the presence of Darnold versus, well, I guess it was Falk the first time that they played. And as a result, you're saying that last week's effort by Darnold was indicative of what's to come, and we don't know. He was rusty, but also teams have now had an opportunity to react to what they saw last week, especially New England. So I think we can be cautiously optimistic about the Jets. Don't know if it'll show up in a point spread cover tonight, although I did take the Jets plus 10. I'm well aware that they're playing New England. Bill Belichick, New England's coach, has no love lost for the Jets. He always makes a big deal about playing the Jets. And yet at the same time, the Jets have performed very well against New England at home, even in the Belichick years.
That's Andy Esco, Logical Approach here on the show, Power Play. And the other thing the odds makers made an adjustment on is the total. I mean, they know the Patriots' defense is really the key to their success. That's a 43 we're looking at for a Monday night football game.
Yeah, we've actually seen a little bit of movement in this game at open. I'll use the Westgate, for example, because I track them all the time. It opened, the line did last week, at 43.5. Went down initially over the first 24 hours to about 42. Then it climbed up in midweek to as high as 44. And then it's actually gone back down as low as 42.5. And now at 43.5. I would think this could be a low-scoring game. The Jets' defense really has been their strength in the first six games of the season. And anytime you can keep Tom Brady off the field or make Tom Brady and the Patriots sustain drives to get their scores, that's a good thing. As I mentioned in the first game when I was messing up the stats a little bit, the Patriots had only 68 rushing yards against the Jets. They did have 313 passing yards. So my guess will be that the Jets will try to force the Patriots to win this game and perhaps even win comfortably by running the football, although they've got some guys that I like to use in the short passing game out of the backfield, which is effectively similar to what they might do running the football, but getting the running backs involved in that. So I would look for this to be a lower scoring game. Again, the first game was 44 points, but Jets scores came as a result of non-offensive touchdowns. And when I actually ran my numbers on this one, I have New England winning something along the lines of, I think the exact number I had was 26-17, which puts it right around 43, which would tend to indicate a very slight under, but not enough of a margin to do with any great deal of confidence.
Just over 24 hours from now, we'll be looking at Game 1 of the World Series, and we finally know who the Nationals are going to play.
It'll be a 2-1 to Altuve. Swung on and hit in the end of deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone to win the series. Jose Altuve hit a two-run home run. The Astros win 6-4, and they capture this series 4-2.
MLB Network. You know, and that was very fascinating. What a series. What a great pitching.
By the way, see, do you know that one swing settled at least six wagers? If he had the Astros, in exactly six games, you also had the game decided. If you had the Yankees and the Yankees on the run line, you lost that. If you had the game Under nine, you lost what would have been a push normally in what would have been a 5-4 game, and you lost that with the two-run homer when the game went to 10. And then, of course, it also determined the American League pennant if you had futures dating back several months on the Astros.
I like that. You got it all covered. Hey, how about futures? If you have them there, I'm quite sure the Nationals are a large underdog in this one. I mean, the Nationals.
Yeah, they are, and it's interesting because I guess this brings into play the thought of value. And by that I mean the series price that I'm seeing is ranging anywhere from I think I saw minus 220 to anywhere to let's see, minus they don't have it up here. I saw it earlier. Minus 220 to minus 230 is the general range. There's been a little bit of action on the Nationals, and that price does seem very, very high because of the liability that most of the books have. They do better with the Nationals winning than they do the Astros winning. Of course, you know, we've heard of the story about Mattress Matt and his wagering for these. His guarantees or his rebates on the refunds on the furniture purchases down in Houston. He's been spreading a lot of that money around. And the books normally have a lot of liability on a team like Houston anyway. They were basically the preseason favorite to come out of the American League, maybe very close there with Boston prior to the start of the season. But as the season progressed, Houston became the solid favorite, not the clear-cut favorite, because the Yankees were there as well. And so as a result, they've bumped up this line to try and draw some Washington money in the series. So if you're betting on value, I actually would have made Houston about a 160 favorite, and that might have been stretching it a little bit because of the starting pitching matchup. You've got Cole, the best pitcher out there, but I would put Verlander, Strasburg, and Scherzer right there very close to one another. And then I put Patrick Corbin, the number three starter for Washington. Then I might put the number three starter Greinke for Houston right there. And then you've also take a look. If either team needs to use a fourth starter, look at what Anibal Sanchez has done in the playoffs, and he's done it before in the postseason. So you look at starting pitching, which, of course, has become less of a factor in recent years in Major League Baseball. But still, the basic thing is, if you've got a good starting pitcher who can give you six, seven innings, it takes pressure off of your bullpen. It means your bullpen is going to be fresher deep into the series. So I give Washington a real shot, and I'm going to do what I normally do in a series like this. I'm going to play the Nationals in Game 1. If they win Game 1, I probably sit out Game 2. If they lose Game 1, I'll come back with the Nationals, probably a little bit less of an underdog because of Verlander versus Cole being a little bit of a difference, even though the need will be with Washington. I'm looking to go at least 1-1, or go one, at least get one win out of the road team in the first two games.
It's going
to
be fun. I mean, you've got Max Scherzer, who's plus 175 in this matchup against Gerrit Cole. The total's pretty low. Was it 6.5, 7, somewhere in that nature? You know, here's the difference between Cole when he was with Pittsburgh. When he was with the Pirates, their whole thing with him and their pitching strategy was, we want you to throw ground balls. So he's throwing the ball differently. He's throwing the ball lower in the strike zone. Here, once he got to the Astros and pitching coach Brett Strom, he's like, you are a power pitcher. I want you to take advantage of what you have and expose the hitters. And now he's gone to that power. He's got the five pitches. He's got the fastball. He's got the slider, the split finger, the changeup. He actually has a knuckle curve. He's got everything. He's the best pitcher in baseball, in my opinion. And now, with Brett Strom and the Astros, we're seeing Cole flourish the way he should have and the way he's going to be for perhaps as long as he's in that Astro, and depending on where he goes from here.
Yeah, and you made a very good point about the opening game total. I'm seeing 6.5s, and as you mentioned, 7s, and you know, they're not at isolated places. These are some of the major books in town that have 7s, as well as the ones that have 6.5. So, depending upon what you want to do and whether you want to lay the extra vig. In fact, I'm looking at one of the two of the major places here in Las Vegas. One has 6.5 over, minus 20 on the over. The other has 7 under with the vig, minus 25 on the under. So unless this game falls 6 or 7, there's going to be some opportunities to share your opinion and do it so in a favorable way.
Andy, let's go to the association. They tip off two key games tomorrow, Pelicans and Raptors, also Lakers and Clippers. That first game, the Raptors 7-231.5 at home to the Pelicans.
Yeah, not sure I'm going to get involved in that game. Of course, we know Zion's going to be out for the Pelicans for, well, they're talking now a little bit more than they had initially thought. And, of course, no Kawhi now for Toronto. So, you know, the two key players, well, the one for this year, Zion, and Kawhi from last year are not there. So not quite sure what to expect. I can understand Toronto perhaps being a little bit extra motivated because coming off of their championship year, I imagine they have the unfurling of the banner and all that. And so they might be able to put some numbers on the board. And of course, New Orleans, with no more Anthony Davis anymore, they're going to be shorthanded without the guy who was, I guess, arguably expected to replace him even as a rookie. So I can make probably a better case for Toronto than I can for New Orleans. And again, with perhaps some of that firepower out, I might look under that total of 231, 231.5. But as we've seen in the NBA in recent years, playing under, especially unknown early in the season, could be a little bit dangerous. As far as the Clippers and the Lakers 2.5-point favorites, and they're dealing with their own issues. I like the makeup of this Clippers team, and I think the Clippers will end up again. You don't know health, but you have to believe that the Lakers have more injury concerns going back with guys like LeBron and Anthony Davis. Of course, has had injury problems throughout his more brief career, and that has to be a concern when you go up against the Clippers, when they seem to be at least they're going to miss, you know, George at the beginning, but they figure to be a bit healthier as the season winds down as we get into January and February. I would look at the Clippers in this spot, but I'm not going to be playing the game.
And you're right, you don't know what to do with the total. I mean, have you been watching the preseason totals? I mean, you're getting 250 in these totals, so we're going into the regular season. All of a sudden, teams are going to start playing defense. I get your point. Here's one key for the Lakers. I think, in my opinion, if Rajon Rondo stays healthy, I think he can really help this team because he is a very knowledgeable and down to earth. He gets the hardwood. They need somebody like that bringing up the rock. The Lakers do. Let's go to
The Lakers, probably more so than the Clippers, is they do have a lot of new personnel, and it will take some time going up against competition playing at regular season pace for everything to gel. But I think you're right. If Rondo can adapt and become a floor leader there, at least to the extent that someone other than LeBron would be in a leadership position, then the Lakers might have better success than I'm expecting them to have, at least over the first, say, month and a half. So between now and Christmas, they might struggle a little bit, and that's assuming that they stay healthy.
We're going to go one more game. Let's go next Sunday. In this game, because we know what's up with Patrick Mahomes, that dislocated kneecap, they say perhaps 3 weeks. The Packers go in there, and they sent out a 4-48 Kansas City. Now it's 4.5-48 the Packers. The Packers are considered to be, if not the best, one of the best teams in the NFC.
Yeah, let me mention that when the lines came out, the Westgate put their lines out last Tuesday, 2 days before Mahomes got injured in the win at Denver. That's when we saw Kansas City a 4-point favorite. Now, with the injury being considered into the line, when the line came out again, the Packers were 4-point road favorites. So they went from 4-point road dogs to 4-point road favorites based upon the absence of Mahomes. So they're basically saying, and I certainly would agree, that the drop-off to more from Mahomes is over a touchdown. In this case, they made it 8, and the public actually is now bet up in many places. In fact, I'd say most places, Packers from 4 to 4.5-point road favorites. As much as I like what I've seen out of Green Bay, and as much as there is to criticize Kansas City for their poor play of the 3 weeks prior to the Denver game, I think that may be a bit too much of an adjustment, and perhaps even so with the total, which they did not put a total out last week before the Mahomes injury. So when they put it out Sunday night, it already considered the fact that Mahomes would not be there. Total of 48. If I'm Kansas City, I realize that what got our team in trouble during the I'll put the Detroit game in there as well, but certainly the Indianapolis game and the game that followed that against Houston was the inability to stop the opposition from running the football against the Kansas City defense, which was a function that also had to include the fact that Kansas City traditionally has had very short drives. They keep their defense on the field shorter than most teams do. So without Mahomes, I think Kansas City has to use more of a ball control approach to their offense, meaning short passing plays, emphasize the run, and instead of having 2 or 3 minute drives, try and stretch those drives into 6 or 7 minutes, or certainly at least 5 minutes, to keep their defense fresh as much as possible. They're still going to be challenged, that defense will be, by Aaron Rodgers, who continues to find receivers despite the fact that some of their key ones have been injured. But nonetheless, I think that if Kansas City is able to be successful in slowing the game down to preserve their defense against arguably the top quarterback talent-wise, not named Mahomes in the game, and that's Aaron Rodgers. I'm not rating Rodgers over, let's say, Tom Brady as an outstanding quarterback. I'm talking in terms of pure talent on the field playing today. I'd have to put Rodgers right up there at the top. So he's going to get his yards. He's probably going to get his scores. So if Kansas City can slow the game down, not only do I think the game will stay under that total, but I also think Kansas City makes for an attractive play to win the game, both plus the points and on the money line.
Nice. Always solid information, Andy. Let the peeps know where they can find you, my friend.
My columns will be in Gaming Today this week, a little bit of the World Series talk we just mentioned. I'll have a few other games in addition to Green Bay, Kansas City, and also some thoughts on the opening week of the NBA.
Are you doing a future bet?
Haven't yet in the NBA. NBA is what I made. And last week I mentioned the fact you got to be careful when playing season totals because you don't know when those load management nights are going to occur during the course of the season. So I haven't made any future bets in the NBA. And the NBA has also been the one sport over the years where the favorites have done exceptionally well. I mean, you need to look no further back than what we've seen prior to last year with Toronto, Golden State, and Cleveland. The teams expected to get there were there for 4 straight years.
Appreciate you, Andy.
Thanks, Seed. Have a great week.
You got it. Andy Esco, Logical Approach here on the show, Power Play. About to start the second period. Flyers up on the Vegas Golden Knights 1-0. Rebels losing that ball game. We talked about it. 56-27 to Fresno. Now 3-4 San Diego State this coming weekend at Colorado State. Hawaii at home. San Jose State at home. Reno on the road. You're telling me they can't get 3 wins and we can't save Tony Sanchez's job?
I don't believe it is my job as a member of Lotus Broadcasting and a partner with UNLV Athletics to have an opinion on whether or not Tony Sanchez should keep or not keep his job. But what I will say is I was an emotional wreck during the Fresno game. I was all over the bleeping place.
Why?
Dude! Like, Kenny Noblad would make an incredible, like, he'd run the read option. He'd run the read option. I was like, oh, cool. All right, if he can run the read option, that's a whole other element. And then immediately throw a pick. And I'm like, oh, no, okay, we can't have him throw. We need to get Armani back. Like, I was.
So you're a rebel.
Yeah. I went to the friggin' school.
So did I.
I love this school.
You're a rebel.
But I'm like, I am way too invested in our mediocre football team. Like.
I want them to win, man.
I would like them to win.
I want to see this happen. I really do. I'm rooting for him. So San Diego State is doable, but we know Colorado State, Hawaii.
Hawaii's, that's a coin flip.
They're up and down. And then there's San Jose, though. You can win that game.
San Jose beat Arkansas.
It's San Jose. It's the Spartans, man.
They've got 3 wins already.
It's baby Sparty. Come on. This is mini Sparty, not Sparty. Come on.
You're insane.
San Jose.
Oh,
give me
man.
A break. All right. Thanks to Andy Esco, Logical Approach. Also to J-Dog, I'm Seed Williams, folk. Chance Tuck Logard's up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show this coming Thursday. Power up, power out.